Hey, it's 12 minutes after 8 o'clock. We're running a couple of minutes late here this morning, but that shouldn't prevent us, and it will not, from living gracefully for the next few minutes with the good people at Woodland Terrace and those good people personified by our friend Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace Senior Living Residences, Christian Senior Living Communities, owned and operated by the Dougherty family for over 20 years. Todd is parked alongside the road somewhere, safely talking on his cell phone this morning. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Snowing where you are or not?
I've seen no snow this morning, no, and I'm happy to not see it.
Yeah, I don't know, too many people clamoring for snow here 2 days before Thanksgiving. That mood might change a couple days before Christmas, but we'll just leave it for what it is now. All right, let's get into it here as we have become accustomed to a kind of a COVID update when we talk here, living gracefully week to week, just seeing if there's anything new to be concerned about or perhaps hopeful for. And I guess let's start with the hopeful for, shall we? Because we just got some more good vaccine news from the AstraZeneca people to add on top of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine good news. What have you heard in your industry about advances in coming vaccine applications?
So all the news from Moderna, from Pfizer, and from AstraZeneca is extremely positive for our industry. We're hearing that our residents could have the vaccination by the end of this year, by the end of December, and that our staff potentially could have access to it by the end of January.
Wow.
So we are very hopeful. There's still a lot of, you know, a lot of information to get and a lot of information to understand exactly how it'll be distributed. We don't know all the specifics yet, but we do know that's all being worked on while they're finishing all the approval processes, so that once those approvals are literally in place, vaccines will start shipping immediately.
Yeah, the approvals the approvals could come like very quickly. Now, the problem is, at least initially, the initial approval might be for the Pfizer vaccine, and that's the one that's got to be kept at super cold temperatures. The good news, as these other ones are developing, is they're a little more stable, apparently, and aren't going to need those kinds of efforts to keep the vaccines viable and transportable. But it is all good news, and you guys are kind of like right behind the first responders, the healthcare, I mean, the nurses and doctors and those that are, and EMTs and emergency type people that are dealing with COVID patients right up front. So you guys are like right behind that group, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So on that, you said end of the year for patients and the caregivers first of the year? Because I think what I'm hearing is for the rest of us, we're looking at March to maybe May. But you guys are probably, what, by midwinter?
So we are hoping by midwinter, yep. It'll be interesting. So the Pfizer vaccine has to be stored at crazy temperatures, but that is also, they've been working on that for the last however many months. That's not a vaccine that is great options for all over the world. I do think in this country, we have really gotten that figured out of how they're going to get that distributed, how they're going to hold up the temperatures it needs to be held at. Obviously, that's a huge challenge, but I think they've worked through a lot of those or are working through those challenges prior to it actually being shipped.
Yeah, the real hopeful note that came out of the AstraZeneca announcement was that that would be hopeful for the developing world that may not have access to the type of storage that you're talking about.
Yes, 100%. Yes. We are hopeful and anxiously waiting for availability.
But the waiting is the key, because that means that in that waiting period, which is going to be several months for most of us, we can't let our guard down because the numbers are still going crazy. And I know you wanted to talk a little bit about asymptomatic spread, because that is still a significant issue, one that people either are ignoring or perhaps don't understand. What is your knowledge of and takeaway on the asymptomatic spread of COVID-19?
So I think it's really hard for people to understand, because typically when we're sick, in 2019, I got the flu and I got it really bad. And I felt fine all day long. And in the afternoon, I started feeling not okay, went home. By 10 o'clock that night, I was running a fever of 103. Went right into the walk-in clinic the next morning. It was actually the flu. I got Tamiflu. So there was no, and you can take, and the flu, typically you're contagious up to 24 hours before presenting signs and symptoms. And it's pretty obvious that I was sick. We have had an outbreak at one of our campuses, not in Berrien County, but up north, that I think we have 8 employees as of right now that have tested positive. And of those 8 employees, 7 of them have absolutely zero symptoms and continue to have zero symptoms. We also have a number of residents that have tested positive, and a good number of those in testing positive did not have symptoms. They have developed symptoms after testing positive, but in testing positive, they were not. They would have passed our screenings. They were not running a fever. There was no cough. There was no sore throat. There was nothing in our typical screen that we do every day that would have caught them or caught the virus, and that's the reality of it. And you know, the health department traces back 48 hours prior to the onset of symptoms. There is belief that you can be contagious up to 3 to 5 days before onset of signs and symptoms, and that's when you're actually exhibiting them. So it's really tricky. It's where I believe masks play a huge role, because that helps reduce the risk of it being transferred to someone else if you are in that period of being contagious without having any signs and symptoms. And to be honest with you, the asymptomatic part of it in long-term care is frustrating and discouraging, because even with your best efforts, aren't going to be able to identify or stop that.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, and a frustrating thing, because, you know, what can you do? And I keep seeing, I'm still to this day seeing posts from people that find some source somewhere that say that masks aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I always go back to the basic bottom line here, which is, what else have we got? You know, outside of the people that keep calling that into question are the same people that don't want any kind of a lockdown or anything like that. So, but what else have we got? We have masks. We do know that the vast majority of science says that's what we've got, and it does help. So, you know, as I said at the outset here, we can't let our guard down. We still have to do that. We still have to do the social distancing. I don't know if anybody's washing their hands anymore or not. I suppose you guys are. But I think in the general population, most of us have just kind of forgotten about that part of it.
Yeah, you know, washing your hands is equally as important as wearing a mask. This has made me hyper aware of how much I touch my face. Which I don't think I ever realized before, whether it be itching my eyes, scratching my eye, itching my nose.
Right.
I am hyper aware of how often I touch my face. Yeah. So a mask, which I think we're challenged with how to wear appropriate, like you cover your mouth and your nose, so wearing it over your mouth is doing nothing. But in covering your mouth and nose and washing your hands constantly or using hand sanitizer, you know, those are extremely important things to
There's so much confusion about this. I've mentioned earlier when I was talking about sports about the NFL is ramping up their COVID protocol. And I've often thought in watching football games, what is the point of these guys even? You've got all the players or none of the players wearing anything, but you've got the coaches, some of them wearing, some of them not. Even those that are wearing pull it down when they're yelling at somebody, which is the time that they should have it on. And none of that makes any sense. And there's so much confusion. You and I were talking before we went on the air here about the confusion about, you know, how many times removed from a given individual that we know has tested positive or is homesick with COVID. How many people or or miles or whatever removed from that person do we have to be before we can feel safe and or just not worry about it for the moment? And the more I talk to people, the less I find that people really know what the story is there.
Yeah, and I think it's confusing, and I think we don't really know. So I think that's part of the problem from the beginning, is I think to admit what we don't know would have been really important, so that as we gained more knowledge and more information about how this virus worked, people don't question the new knowledge. They understand that it's new knowledge that we did not have before.
Right.
And I think that the whole asymptomatic spread and how, you know, when you should be concerned and when you shouldn't be concerned is very confusing. And I don't know what the clear answer is. So we get this from employees all the time. You know, I was with my mom this weekend. She was at work last week. One of her coworkers was exposed because her husband tested positive. Should I not come to work? And it's a very legitimate question.
It is.
But it's confusing. I mean, that's how confusing it is.
Right. And, you know, the best we can do, as you said, the information that we get, it keeps piling up. And so we have new perspectives on stuff. So we have to listen to the medical profession and understand and accept the fact that what they tell us tomorrow may very well be different than what we heard today, and we just have to kind of to roll with it and do the best we can in that regard. Now, I'll again tip my cap to you guys. I know you've got, as you said, have a problem up in Traverse City, but you've done a great job with your facilities here, way different from what we're hearing over across the lake, where you've got nursing care people going on strike because they don't feel safe. They've had outbreaks in some facilities over there, which I'm sure you are aware of, and which keeps you up later at night than normal, working on that Excel sheet of yours.
Well, so of all of the counties that we operate in, four different counties in Michigan, and all of the counties Michigan has, I'm sorry, Berrien County, has the highest daily rate per capita of new cases. So we are very aware of the community spread in Berrien County. We are very aware of the risk that puts our employees at and the risk that puts our residents at with having to have people come into our building every day. So we are very mindful of that, and so I would just
I'm not sure that that word is getting out as to what the, you know, how significantly higher the numbers in Berrien County are than they used to be. So, yeah, we have to remain vigilant. Well, kudos to you guys for giving it your best shot and keeping your both your residents and your employees healthy and safe, and hope that that continues. For anybody who needs information on the services that Woodland Terrace offers, the best way to get a hold of the Dougherty family is what, Todd?
You can go to woodlandterrace.com. All the phone numbers for the individual campuses are listed there. You're welcome to call the campus to kind of see what moving in today looks like. You are also able to go to woodlandterrace.com and fill out a form that will request whatever information you're looking for that we can send to you, email to you, to get anyone the information it is that they're looking for.
There you go. Woodland Terrace, senior living, independent living, assisted living, memory care, and special needs suites as well. Bridgman, Coloma, Niles, and alongside a highway and a parking lot this morning. Todd, thank you kindly. Always appreciate your input. We'll catch up again. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.